Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, brother. How's everybody this morning? Y'all excited to be here at church? I heard some amens out of y'all. Say something. Say boo or something. I don't say we're going to throw fruit at you or something. Amen. I don't know about you, but I am truly glad to be here. How about those watching at home? Glad to be online with you. Be in the house of the Lord somewhere, right? Amen. Because that's where we should be every day. Even when we're not in the walls of the church, we should be in the house of the Lord. Amen. We should carry Christ with us. No matter what we're doing, where we're at. Amen. Hey, your title today is this: The Eternal Priesthood of Christ and a Cry for Faith. The Eternal Priesthood of Christ and a Cry for Faith. Amen. Your main scripture is going to come from the book of Mark. Wow, we're still in the book of Mark. I think we've been in there for a month now. That's not a bad thing though, right? But we're going to be in Mark chapter 10 again, verse 46 through 52. Again, your main scripture, we'll have the first scripture here in a minute, but the main one is Mark 10, 46 through 52. NIV version says it this way: Then they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and he said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. Man, Jesus still asks us that every day, don't he? "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see. I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately. When? Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Amen. When did he receive it? Immediately. It didn't take no. He didn't have to wait, did he? How many of us like those answers from God when we ask for something? And boom, there it is. Amen. But he'd been blind for a little while, hadn't he? But God said, boom, it's healed right now. Amen. All right, let's pray real fast. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I ask you right now, get me out of the way today, Lord. Allow your Holy Spirit to speak through me. Lord, may you open our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, to the blessing and the message that you have for us today, Lord. Lord, may we get a little bit closer to you, Lord. Get a little bit more tightly wrapped around your neck, Lord. Lord, may you give us the blessing in the scripture, Lord, that would help us with our earthly days that are left here in this world, Lord. Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do, Lord. And I ask you to be with us through the rest of the service. In your name I pray. Everybody say it. Amen. All right. Your first scripture will come from the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 23 through 28. Hebrews 7, 23 through 28, NIV version also says, Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest truly meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens, and like the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day. First, for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once and for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints a high priest men in all of their weaknesses. But the oath which came after the law, appointed the Son, who has been made what? Perfect when? Forever. Perfect forever. Amen. Ain't you glad we got a God that's perfect forever? Because I promise you, we're not. Amen. We're going to mess up every day, aren't we? But we got a God that still loves us and is still perfect through all of our transgressions and all of our sins and all of our desires away from Him. Amen. So in today's passage, the writer of Hebrews presents Jesus as the ultimate high priest, contrasting Him with the priests of the Old Covenant. In Hebrews 7:23-28, we see the superiority of Jesus' priesthood, which is eternal, is perfect, and it's effective for our salvation. As we explore this, we want to reflect on three key points that flow from these verses. The performance of Christ's priesthood, the perfection of His sacrifice, and the power of His intercession. The performance, the perfection, and the power. Amen. In Hebrews 7:23-24, we see the performance. Now that we have been many of those priests, since death prevented them from continuing in office, but because Jesus lives forever, He is a permanent priesthood. The priests of the Old Covenant were human, wasn't they? Just like we are, amen? They were subject to death. And therefore, their service as a priesthood was only temporary, wasn't it? It wouldn't last forever. Generation after generation, they had to be replaced, didn't they? Because of the inevitability, I get that word out, of death. Because death was going to happen. We'll go that way. But, what? Everybody likes but, right? But Jesus, because He lives forever, holds a permanent priesthood, even through this day today, amen? This truth carries profound implications for us as believers. We have the stability and the security. Jesus' priesthood is not subject to change, is it? We don't have to worry about Him being replaced by somebody less capable taking His place. He is our priest forever. He is our high priest forever. Amen. This gives us a deep sense of security in our salvation, don't it? Because it rests in the eternal, unchanging priesthood of Christ. And because of that, we have a single mediator. Since Christ is our eternal high priest, He is the one and only mediator between God and humanity. We don't need anybody else, do we, to bridge a gap between us and God? Jesus stands forever as the one who reconciles us to our Father. You also see the perfection. Verse 27 says, "Unlike the other high priest, He does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for His own sins, and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once and for all when He offered Himself." In the Old Covenant, the priests had to repeatedly offer sacrifices, didn't they? Both for their own sins, because they were still human, right? So they still committed sins. And for the people themselves. Their sacrifices were continual because they were imperfect and temporary solutions of the problem of sin. But in contrast, though, everybody say, "I like in contrast." Amen. In contrast, Jesus offered one perfect sacrifice. One perfect sacrifice. Y'all hear me? And that was Himself once and for all. Amen. One for all sacrifice. The sacrifice of Jesus was sufficient to atone for all of the sins, past, present, and guess what? Even the ones we commit in the future. Amen. There's no need for continual offerings, because His sacrifice was perfect, final, and complete. This reminds us that salvation is fully accomplished in Christ. We don't have to keep earning it or striving to earn God's favor. It's already been secured by Jesus' finished works on the cross for us. And that gives us a freedom from guilt, don't it? Since Jesus' sacrifice is perfect and complete, we can live free from the burden of guilt and shame. The blood of Christ cleanses us fully, allowing us each to approach God with confidence. We're no longer bound by our past sins, are we? Because His sacrifice covers us completely. We also see the power, don't we? Verse 25 says, "Therefore He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him, because He always lives to intercede for them." Not only does Jesus save us through His sacrifice, but He continues to intercede for each one of us when we mess up. Amen? And sometimes even when we don't mess up, Jesus is continuing to intercede for us daily. He's actively at work on our behalf in the presence of God, ensuring that our salvation is fully secure. And we will know that we have complete salvation because Jesus is able to save us completely or to the uttermost because His intercession is ongoing. He continually presents His finished work before our Father, guaranteed that no one who comes to God through Him will be lost. This is the power of His intercession. It is a guarantee that we are held fast by His grace and in His grace. Amen? He is truly our advocate, isn't He? As our high priest, Jesus is our advocate. When we fail and fall, when we struggle, or when we face accusations from the enemy, Jesus is right there at the right hand of the Father for us, isn't He? Pleading our case, reminding the Father that we are covered by His blood. This gives us a great hope, don't it, and confidence in our daily walk with God, knowing that our high priest is always with us. Amen. This scripture reveals the beauty and the power of Christ's eternal priesthood. Unlike the old covenant priests, again, Jesus' priesthood is permanent. His sacrifice is perfect, isn't it? And His intercession is powerful. Because of Him, we have a secure salvation, don't we? We have complete forgiveness and ongoing advocacy with God. Let us remind or respond to that truth with gratitude and faith. Let us rest in the security of our high priest, Jesus Christ, whoever lives to intercede for us. And let us boldly approach God's throne, knowing that our salvation is not based upon our performance, is it? But it's based upon the finished, perfect work of our eternal high priest. And by doing that, we can have the faith that will open eyes. Amen. Your second scripture came from the blind book of Bartimaeus story. I'll get that out. This passage recounts one of the last miracles Jesus performed before entering Jerusalem. And it presents a rich illustration of faith, persistence, and transformation. We meet Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, sitting on the outskirts of Jericho. And by the end of the story, he's not just physically healed, is he? But he's spiritually renewed, following Jesus on the way. Amen? In this sermon, we will break down the passage into three key movements. The cry of faith, the call of mercy, and the response to the healing. In verses 46 and 48, it says, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.'" Bartimaeus was physically blind, wasn't he? But spiritually, he saw what many around him could not see. Despite being on the fringes of society, a beggar with no status. Remember back then, the class rules were a lot harsher than they are now. Amen. But a beggar had no status back then. He recognized Jesus as the Son of David. A messianic title that pointed to Jesus as the long-awaited King. Notice two things about his cry. His persistence. He had a persistence in it, didn't he? despite being rebuked by the crowd, Bartimaeus refused to be silent, didn't he? His desperation led him to press on. How often do we give up in a prayer when obstacles get in our ways? Bartimaeus shows us that true faith persists, even in the face of opposition. He also had his faith in Jesus' identity, didn't he? He didn't just call Jesus by name, did he? He called him the Son of David. Acknowledges Jesus' authority and his role as Messiah. Bartimaeus' cry was not merely for physical healing, but it was for the mercy of God. Amen? He teaches us the importance of knowing who Jesus is and trusting Him, even when others doubt us and try to silence us. When we face challenges, do we cry out with persistence and faith, trusting that God hears us and responds? We also see the call of mercy, don't we? Verse 49 through 50. And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up. He is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and he came to Jesus. His persistence caught Jesus' attention, didn't it? At that very moment, amen, Jesus stops and everything changes. Jesus stopped and everything changed. The same crowd that earlier rebuked Bartimaeus now encourages him, saying, "Take heart, get up. He's calling you." Amen. And what did we have? We had Jesus' response. Jesus heard his cry for faith and responded with compassion. No cry of faith is ever ignored by Jesus. Amen. His mercy is greater than any social barrier or physical limitation that we have. And you also see Bartimaeus' immediate response. When he heard it, that Jesus was calling him, he didn't hesitate, did he? He didn't wait until a couple of weeks later. Amen. He didn't wait until next time Jesus might be rolling around. Amen. He did not hesitate, did he? He jumped up, threw his cloak off, the one possession that he likely had on the whole earth, and he sprang up, didn't he? His cloak, possibly symbolic of his old life as a beggar, was no longer necessary. He was stepping in to a new reality, wasn't he? Jesus is always ready to respond to the cries of those that seek Him with faith. When He calls us, are we willing to go out of our old lives like Bartimaeus was, willing to throw off his coat and run to Him? And we also see the response of the healing, don't we? In verse 51 through 52, Jesus says, "And Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said, 'Rabbi, let me recover my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way. Your faith has made you well.' And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him along the way." The climax of the story is in this personal encounter between Jesus and Bartimaeus. Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" This is not a question of ignorance, was it? Jesus already knew that Bartimaeus was blind. But it was a question that invited Bartimaeus to express his faith out loud. Amen? And his request was simple. "Let me recover my sight." He didn't ask for riches, did he? Or status that he didn't have at that point. But he just asked for the ability to see, which is a true step of faith, wasn't it? And he got Jesus' pronouncement with that step of faith. Jesus tells him, "Your faith has made you well." The Greek word here for well, or made well, is sozo, which means not only physical healing, but also salvation. Bartimaeus was made whole, both physically and spiritually. Do you need to be made whole today? Amen. And he got a new life, didn't he? After receiving his sight, Bartimaeus didn't just go back to his old life, did he? He followed Jesus on the way. His healing led to discipleship, following Jesus towards Jerusalem. Jesus asked each of us, what do you want me to do for you? How are we answering? How we answer reveals the state of our heart. Do we seek physical blessings alone? Or do we, like Bartimaeus, long for a deeper spiritual transformation? True faith not only heals, but it also allows us to follow God and Jesus. Bartimaeus' story is a powerful reminder of the kind of faith that moves the heart of God. It's a faith that, one, recognizes who Jesus is, the Son of David, the Savior. Amen. Two, it preserves in the face of obstacles, never giving up, even when we get others are discouraged. It also responds when Jesus calls with urgency, right? Not just laying around, casting off the old and coming to Him. And it results in a transformation, don't it? A healing that leads to discipleship and a new way of life. As we reflect on Bartimaeus, let us also consider our own faith. Are we crying out to Him, to Jesus, with a faith that's persistent, that is bold, that is expectant? And when we respond, or when He responds, are we ready to follow Him all the way? Amen. Because Bartimaeus truly was a picture of desperation, wasn't he? He was a man that lived his life in darkness, sitting by the roadside as Jesus passed by. That man, blind, reduced to begging, represents a place of deep need, don't he? Both physical and spiritual. He's in the shadows of society, overlooked and disregarded. Some of us may feel that way at times. Perhaps not physically blind, but overwhelmed by our own struggles, living in the kind of spiritual darkness. We may feel unseen. We may feel unheard. We may feel powerless. Yet Bartimaeus teaches us something profound. Desperation can lead us to a place where God's mercy meets us. He heard that Jesus was passing by. And in that moment, despite the crowd, despite the noise, despite the position in his life, he cried out with all of his heart, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It was truly a faith that would not be silenced, isn't it? The crowd rebuked him, right? Telling him to be quiet. They wanted to push him back into the shadows. And his cry for mercy as an interruption. Bartimaeus does something remarkable, don't he? He refused to be silent. How many of us are refusing to be silent today? He shouts even louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. This is the kind of faith that gets Jesus' attention. Persistent, determined faith. Bartimaeus refuses to let the crowd or his circumstances drown out his voice. He doesn't let the voices of discouragement stop him from calling on the one who can truly heal him. How many of us are letting those voices of discouragement stop us today from calling on him? Amen. How many times do we allow the noise of the world, the doubts in our own minds, or the fear of being ignored to silence our prayers? Bartimaeus shows us that we must press on. When life starts getting tough, tells us, don't ever give up. When others are telling us to be quiet, we must cry out all the more. Jesus hears the cries of the brokenhearted. He hears the voices of faith. And He stops for the one in need. That's one of the most beautiful moments in this passage. Jesus stops. Amen. He stopped amidst the crowd, amidst his journey, amidst the noise. Jesus stopped for Bartimaeus. He asked him to be called, and suddenly the very crowd that rebuked him was now telling him to get up and go to Jesus. In this simple act, we see the heart of God, don't we? Jesus always has time for those in need. Amen. He always has time for us when we're in need. He always has time for those who run to Him and cry out in faith. No one is too insignificant for Him. Amen. No one's cry is too small to be heard. Jesus sees the individual, even when they are overlooked by everybody else. When Bartimaeus comes to Jesus, Jesus asks him that question. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? That's not because Jesus didn't know what he needed, did he? He knows all things, amen? Rather, he was inviting Bartimaeus to express his faith, to name his need, and to trust that God can meet it. Do y'all guys have a faith, a need that God needs to meet today? Amen? Just cry to him like Bartimaeus did. And his response was, go. Your faith has healed you. Because his answer was simple. Rabbi, I want to see. His request was a declaration of his faith. He believes that Jesus can do what no one else can. He believes that Jesus has the power to heal his blindness. And guess what? Jesus responded with these powerful words. Go, your faith has healed you. And immediately he got sight, didn't he? His faith, his unwavering belief in Jesus' power and mercy has led to his healing. But notice what happened next. He didn't just receive his sight and go back to the old life again, did he? Scripture says he followed Jesus along the road. Are we still following Jesus along our road today? Amen. His encounter with Jesus not only healed his body, but it transformed his life. He became a follower of Christ, walking in the light, no longer in the darkness. Amen. So what can we take from the powerful story today? One thing is it's a cry out in faith. Like Bartimaeus, we must never be afraid to cry out to God, even when others may try to silence us. No matter how hopeless our situation may seem, remember that Jesus hears the cries of those who call out to Him in faith. We also must persevere when we face that opposition. When we face challenges, when we face doubts, or even opposition, don't give up. Keep pressing forward. Keep calling on Jesus, and He will respond just like He did Bartimaeus. Because Jesus sees us. You might feel insignificant. You might feel overlooked. You might feel forgotten today. But Jesus sees you. He stops for the one who cries out to Him in faith. You're never too far. You're never too broken. And you're never too insignificant for Him. Bartimaeus' healing was not just a physical sight, was it? But it was truly a transformed life. When we encounter Jesus, He not only meets our needs, but He calls us into the life to follow Him. Today, let us be reminded that Jesus is near each one of us. Remember to stop and respond to those that call on Him. Like Bartimaeus, may we have the faith to cry out, the persistence to overcome the obstacles, and the heart to follow Jesus wherever He leads us to. For it is through that faith in Him that we find not only our healing, but our transformation. As we get ready to come for the final song, let's pray. Father, we thank You for giving us Jesus as our eternal high priest. Help us to rest in the security of His permanent priesthood. Trust in the perfection of His sacrifice. And to take comfort in the power of His ongoing intercession. Strengthen our faith and deepen our understanding of all that Jesus has done for us. In His name. Lord, help us to see You with the eyes of faith, like Bartimaeus. May we cry out to You with boldness, trusting in Your mercy. And when You respond, may we give us the courage to follow You wherever You lead us. Lord, I thank You for Your message today, Lord. Lord, as always, I thank You for getting Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. I'm allowing Your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Lord. Your word spoken and not mine, Jesus. we ask you just to put somebody in front of us this week, Lord. Lord, that even if we're struggling right now, Lord, and we might need a little bit of extra faith, Lord, I just ask that we come to you in private prayer, Lord. Lord, that we would seek you like Bartimaeus did, Lord. Lord, through all the obstacles, Jesus, Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do, Lord. I ask you to be with us until the next service. In your name I pray. Everybody say it.